That's going to be all from me tonight. Again, this is Casper, your local friendly ghost, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford. And as promised, here's your story of the night. You moved into the old house 2 weeks ago, and the ghost who lives there likes to knock your soda off the counter and write apology notes in butter on the hallway mirror. She kissed you on the forehead this morning as you walked out the front door, and when you got to work, you were still smiling. Thanks for listening, and good morning.
Hi, this is Truett Killian, and you're listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This is my first time on the air, so I have to apologize. You may have to bear with me as I get this set up for a moment. I am currently trying to get this set up, so I'm going to keep talking to you. In a moment, I should be able to play some music. I think the first thing I'd like to play this evening is Cannonball Rag, which is a song by my great-grandfather, Merle Travis, actually. It's I don't even know how to describe it. One of the things that's particularly interesting about it, though, it's done through a method of guitar picking called Travis picking, where essentially the pick is attached to your thumb, and then you pick the rest of the thing with your fingers. I don't know if that's interesting, but I'm gonna play it, and I'm trying to get it to work. Bear with me, listeners or no listeners, I'm completely complacent talking to myself as well. And here we...
Well, thank you, and I hope that's clear to Tex Ritter now. It's a little bit baffled to me. Tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to try a little country guitar playing on a little tune called the Cannonball Rag. So
a little bit of trouble here, but that's okay. Let us see. Phew. Casper, the friendly ghost, is helping me out here because I'm quite lost.
Did you plug in the aux cord?
I plugged in the aux cord. I have that running.
Turn this off.
Well, thank you, and I hope that's clear to Tex Ritter now. It's, a little bit baffled to me. Tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to try a little country guitar playing on a little tune called the Cannonball Rag. So stay with me, will you, please? Here's the way she goes.
That was Cannonball Rag. That's a song by my grandfather. I'm gonna make one note to myself and then talk for a while, so I apologize. So, this is my first time on a radio show. I think I'm gonna be calling it Film Frenzy, and I plan on uploading it later to SoundCloud at some point. So if you're listening in the future, congrats, I'm old. This could be potentially an hour from now or 30 years from now. If I'm dead when you're listening to this, that's creepy, and I'm probably going to be watching your shoulder as a ghost. So today, like I said, the topic is Film Frenzy, and I'd like to talk about a show that's been recommended to me time and time and time again, Stranger Things. And I have to clarify that I've actually seen the first episode twice before this evening. I saw it about a year ago, when it was fairly new. I saw it then, and then I also rewatched it once this summer, but I was quite busy with work and with school, so I never particularly got the chance to get into it. And this evening, I watched it with my friend Big Ball, and I have some thoughts on it. One of the things I was initially struck by is there's a strong variance of genre within Stranger Things. I feel that there's several scenes which seem to be of the horror genre. I think that the opening scene, and for those of you who haven't seen it, I'm potentially going to spoil it, but I don't think I know enough about what I saw to be able to thoroughly spoil it. So I'm just going to talk, and if you don't want to hear me talk, turn me off. I probably would too. But the first segment, it starts, there's this doctor guy, and he seems to be scared. He's running through this hallway with a bunch of flashing lights, and he eventually gets to an elevator where he gets killed, and it's implied that he gets killed. And one of the things that the the sequence seemed odd to me. I was watching it with my friend, and we looked at each other, and it was a question of, oh, what is this supposed to be that we're watching right now? Is it horror? Is it, I mean, we'd obviously seen trailers and merchandise for Stranger Things, so I think we had an idea of the overarching thing, but it seemed to be very horror-influenced. But the next sequence, it didn't seem to fit this. It obviously was introducing all the characters, the three young boys, whose names I can't recall, but I'll get back to them later. And there was a stark, not only a change in genre, but a strong change in tone that I noticed. And obviously, it's a longer piece of work and can have several feelings present within its tenure, but the stark contrast of the scene, it's not even that it was two disparate elements that I couldn't follow. It seemed odd to me, though, in the fact that the two separate elements didn't seem to have a particular cohesion. And obviously, I'm watching the show, and so I get the impression that they're related. But had you shown me this, say, on a random playlist and not told me these scenes belong to the same piece, I don't know that I particularly would have been able to call that out. And I've obviously, like I've said, full disclosure, I've only seen the first episode, but I feel if that's emblematic of the way the show operates, that might be, I don't know, a little jarring. One of the problems I often have with TV is the lack of consistency within it. And I find that sometimes whenever so many hands are on a show, that not necessarily the quality, but the feeling and the direction of it can be led astray throughout the course of a series, or even more specifically, a season. And this lack of cohesion, I think, often comes. So we've got writer A gets replaced by writer B, director A, B, C, and D traded off. Each one of them obviously has things they want included, but in their battle for control, they obviously give it a different feeling, which often to me makes the elements of a television show a little bit difficult to follow, not necessarily as a narrative, because I must say, I think the writing of television specifically opens a lot of doors for possibilities, but more so my qualm typically falls on the direction of it. And like I said, sometimes I feel that there's a lack of general cohesion within a series and even within an old season, but within the first 10 minutes of Stranger Things, I think that I started to feel a lack of cohesion within the episode itself. One thing my friend and I were speaking of after the episode, he asked me, he said, what were the boys' names? And I tried to think, and for some reason, I didn't know any of their names, and he didn't either. He asked me, he said, tell me a noticeable characteristic about any of them, besides the fact that they're in the 80s and they're all somewhat nerdy. And neither he nor I could say much. And obviously it's a show, 8 episodes, 12 episodes, whatever it is, so there's ample time to develop the characters. But given that the pilot, which I don't think is the correct term for this specific type of show, but I'll call it the pilot being it's the first episode, I feel like the pilot has a lot of potential to introduce characters. And even if not necessarily expanding on the entirety of their characters, giving us some sort of symbolic, quick, noticeable thing that tells us a lot about the characters. And I didn't seem to get a strong feeling of this while watching the first episode of Stranger Things, which obviously I can't comment if that's a criticism of the show as a whole or necessarily this first episode, but I think as far as a first episode, I think that typically the best card should be laid on the table, and I felt in that sense the first episode was slightly lacking. And another thing, I didn't find a particularly prominent amount of clear character motivation, and I know that's a common criticism of everything whenever someone wants to seem like they know what they're talking about, but in this case, I feel that we have the event of the boy going missing, and then we have some electricity things, and everyone in the narrative is simply reacting to that. And not that reactionary protagonists are necessarily bad, but of none of the characters within the narrative did I feel had a specific goal or purpose that wasn't strictly stemming from the actions that had happened outside of their control. And that's not to say necessarily that there isn't any of that within the show, but at least within the first episode, I didn't get that sort of cohesion or draw to a character. And I feel that there's several characters who fall into specific archetypes. I already mentioned, I think that the first three boys are fairly emblematic of a typical loner pack of, I mean, nerds to call them, not to be disparaging towards them, but they seem to be a little bit on the dorky side, heavy with references, which is obviously part of the throwback era, very J.J. Abrams-esque, and I mean, obviously throwback to Steven Spielberg, but one of the things I noticed, they're all somewhat emblematic of that same archetype, and you get the same dream boy, what's his name? There's the high school guy, and yeah, he's cool, he's pushy, he's got long hair, he's edgy. He almost seems to fit, I don't even know his name, Barrington or something along those lines. He seems to be fitting this archetype particularly stringently, in that if you were to outline what you would particularly think of a character of that nature, he seems to check all of the boxes. And relying on archetypes for shows isn't necessarily a bad thing, because I think that a lot can be expanded on that. But the strict character that underlies the archetypes, the individuality and the really the realism of what the characters bring, I found to be lacking. And that's not to say it's lacking in the whole show, because I do plan on watching more of it, because I'm quite interested in seeing what people are so excited about. But at least in the first episode, I didn't particularly find a strong connection to all of these characters, or even really a strong distinguishing between the characters. And that's obviously might be my mistake, that might be some other mistake, but I found that something that was relatively prevalent. One of the other things I find that the show obviously is mocking, not mocking, it's basically using as its roadmap 80s and late 70s films. And within this, I think that the cinematography is somewhat reflective of this, but I feel like there's several shortcomings with both the editing, the color grading, and the cinematography that I feel like don't particularly embody the genre they're trying to recreate. And that's not to say they can't diverge from the genre in productive ways, but none of the divergences to me seem to be meaningful or inventive. More so, they seem to be ways in which the style that had been occurring in that moment had not been done particularly well. One of the things I kept noticing is there were these stark cut-ins, cut-outs, right? So there would be an insert of a plate. I don't know that there was specifically one of a plate, but something along those lines where something important was shown and then it cuts back out to a grand view. So it goes from this big focus to a small focus, back and forth and back and forth. And while I think that's a very prevalent thing in today's media, I think that happens because our cuts are getting shorter and shorter, which is statistically happening. The average cut's about 2.6 seconds now in American narrative things. But I feel that the close-ups and the reaching outs is something that works particularly well with closer cuts, which is developed as a convention. It's especially prevalent in more independent, lower-budget things, but it's prevalent nonetheless. And being that this was done on digital, and it was done in a similar to an independent fashion, I won't say it's particularly a studio level, because Netflix is giving quite a bit of control to these people, but the cut-in and switches out, they didn't seem to be deliberate, and they didn't particularly seem to be conveying the story in a more meaningful way. To me, the juxtaposition between the extreme close-ups and extremely wide range shots, it seemed disparate to me more so than productive or creative. And obviously, I've only seen the episode a few times, and that's not a qualitative statement on the entirety of the show, but that's just something I noticed quite prevalently throughout the first episode. And another thing I seem to be a little odd, the different arcs of the characters that were somehow interweaving didn't seem to connect in a meaningful way in this episode. And obviously there is a television show we're watching, or a Netflix show, whatever the proper jargon to call it is, but despite the fact that there's 8 pieces to it, I don't think that necessarily means this should be viewed as an 8-piece movie. I mean, simply because it is by definition a TV show. It's the definition of a TV show or Netflix show may be debatable, but Netflix specifically has it in a section under shows. And so I think
I don't feel absurd in giving them the ability to qualify and quantify their own show. But being that it's a show, one general convention of shows is that there's an episodic manner. And one of the biggest things me and my friend Big Ball were saying is that the episode that finished didn't seem to be complete nor episodic. And one of the reasons we seem to think this happened is that in the storyboarding of the show, it seems that a great character arc, narrative, everything was planned out particularly well, and it was filmed, and this was all filmed at one time, obviously, the whole show to save money, but in the creating of it to an episodic manner, it didn't seem that the first episode or the pilot, as we should call it, has the complete cohesion that typically a pilot or something of the sort would have. And we were both saying that had this been something like a TV pilot for a series that Netflix would option, for example, I don't think that it would have been a particularly compelling story, nor do I think it would have survived. Because I know that there is a lot of hype behind Stranger Things, but before Stranger Things was a thing, obviously that hype had to come from somewhere. And given I don't want to say erratic, but the disconnecting nature of this first episode, I seem to think if this was shown to executives or even a live audience, I don't think that they would necessarily be compelled to say, oh my gosh, what happens next? Especially the ending frame, and Big Ball, this was his point more than mine, but he seemed to be saying, this is just like you picked a random place to end in the scene for the episode, essentially splitting the series into 8 parts. It didn't seem that the episode had a stark meaning for its own arc, but more so an interruption of an arc of the entire series. And that's obviously possible to do in a medium like this, because if we were showing... So I want to explain, for a pilot, typically we would be given, say, $50,000 to produce a 20-minute episode to show what the TV show would be about. And we would then show this to executives to say, this is what we plan on doing. It could be good, it could be bad. And if they like it, one of two things can happen. Either A, they say, we're going to stream this on the air, see how it does, and then if it works, give you more money and go from there. Or B, pay to produce the pilot again with a higher... with a higher production value, essentially a higher budget. And I don't think that this episode, given that convention and that way of filmmaking and distribution that typically exists, I don't know that it would have been particularly popular or even be renewed. And that's not to say it's bad qualitatively, but I think the ways that this as a Netflix show diverges from a normal television show is that the episodic manner and the episodic encapsulation of particular arcs and key plot points beginning and middle end within the episode don't seem to be particularly strong. And within every series, there's an overarching story, and then each episode, driving from its episodic nature, must have some beginning, middle, and end within it. And with a television show, people have to wait a week to watch whatever you're going to put out. That's not to say what you put out is necessarily better, but if people are tuning in, they have to feel at least somewhat driven or somewhat compelled to follow whatever it is you're producing for them. And this episodic manner that Stranger Things seems to embody doesn't seem to be possible in the paradigm of television that used to exist. And I think one of the reasons it's popular in a medium such as Netflix and other online streaming services, but obviously this one is particular to Netflix, is the next episode plays automatically. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, boom. The next episode starts playing. And so I think that's good because you don't have to click a mouse, but at the same time, I think that can beget a certain level of passivity in an audience. And that's not to say people aren't paying attention, but I think people may be paying attention to what's happening in screen without paying attention to the delineations and the separation of the episodes as a structure. And in that manner, I think that the show, at least within the first episode, seemed to diverge from that episodic manner in which it seemed to be I was watching a movie and decided to stop at an arbitrary point. And that's, I mean, I'm using that as a criticism of the show and the pilot, and I don't know that that's necessarily a good point to make, but I think it's interesting to delineate the differences within a television show and a Netflix show. While we may think of Netflix as just television shows without commercials and that are all streamed randomly, it seems that that's arising as a different convention, at least within a show like this. And I'd like to push back on accepting that passively. I seem to think as an episode, as a series, I feel like there needs to be a lot drawn from the episodic nature, which really, really needs a strong, a rather strong adherence to the form of television and Netflix shows. That's not to say that every convention must be followed, but I think two general conventions, which are probably rather standard to include, would be the overarching idea or storyline of the series, or the season more specifically, because I don't know how far this has been planned out, but also that I feel needs to exist within the episode. And that's not to say there couldn't be an 8-part movie, but given that this is presented as a show, I felt it was a little lacking in that manner, meaning I didn't find the coherence and the adherence to that specific form. And I found that there's a lot of ways in which this breaks with traditional form. I think that the music choices are very, very unique and daring, wouldn't typically be addressed, and probably wouldn't happen on a television show. So I would definitely give the show rather points for that. And furthermore, I think the sets and I think the way the characters are interacting, it's very retro in a way that might have been commonplace in 80s films, but I don't know that has had a place on television recently. But with all this divergence, I think that there's still there seems to be a hint of entropy with it to me, and that I don't necessarily see where everything connects. And while there's these separate elements that I like, I like the music, I like 80s things. I have, for some reason, when I was a kid, we didn't have a lot of new DVDs. We just had 80s VHSs. And so most of the things I watched from probably age 3 to 10 were 80s films and things of the sort. So I, even though I wasn't alive in this period, I do feel a sort of strong nostalgia for what I'm seeing. But at the same time, as far as a cohesive piece and a cohesive piece of art, I don't necessarily see the wholeness and the network of what I think is necessary for this to be done effectively. And I might just be talking crazily, because I do know a lot of people particularly appreciate this show, and I'm certainly going to follow the show because I think I might need to give it more credence than I am at the moment. But just speaking from what I've seen from the first episode, I'm a little apprehensive as to what I'm going to find. But one other thing I was saying, I know there are 8 episodes or 12. I'm getting the number wrong. I'm just using 8 as a general indicator. But some non-zero number, obviously, 6 to 12, somewhere in that. There are these episodes, and I'm sure I would be able to gain something, to learn something new, if I were to stick out the show with all the episodes, which I plan on doing just because I'm interested in seeing what happens. But at the same time, part of me feels that if there wasn't this cohesion in the first episode, it makes me doubt whether it's going to appear later. And that's not to say definitively that it won't, but if it does seem to arise later, it'll make me think that the way this was produced and the way it was planned might have been a little bit lacking, in that I think typically you should put your best fit forward and maybe not save your best for last, and that you want to present something that's not wholesome, but a full whole, interesting, captivating in your first part. A few shows I think that did this very well are Breaking Bad by Vince Gilligan and Kevin Spacey's House of Cards, or David Fincher directed that. And so I think what those shows did particularly well is starting off, defining the tone, having a big question, in introducing character motivation, how the characters think in symbolic ways, in many ways that really make us intrigued about more so what's going to happen than just what is happening. And in the pilot, or I'm going to stop calling it pilot, because I think by the typical structure of what a pilot is, the first episode doesn't succeed in being this. But in the first episode, I don't think any of those questions of interest or personal connection are drawn to the characters. Rather, I seem to find I'm asking, what am I seeing? What is this monster? Who is this girl? Who is this bad government agency? I find myself asking, what is this? But while I'm interested in clarification on what things are, I don't seem particularly drawn to know why things are. Why things are the way they are, and I don't even feel particularly interested in what's going to happen. It's more so a curiosity at a misunderstanding of the things that have been presented before me. And so I'm probably going to watch the episode again, because I realize I'm being fairly critical here, and this isn't to bash the show. I think it was an interesting attempt, but I still feel, as someone who watches these things rather actively, I feel the need to speak up whenever I see things such as this. Another, and this is probably should have been mentioned earlier with the cinematography, but I feel that the obvious look is trying to look like film, as in what would have been filmed on the time, probably 35mm characters with more flat film stocks. And obviously it's much cheaper to shoot on digital, and for television there's not really a reason to shoot on 35mm film. But the emulation of film which is being attempted, in that I think the color grading and the lighting and several elements like that seem to be reaching to imitate this film, I don't know that that's particularly well done, and that I seem to be noticing just slightly more care could have been given in post to recreating the look of film, if that's what the creators were going for. And that's not to say they definitively were, but I think if you compare this to anything else produced by similar budgets and with high frame rates in the way that this was, I think that it's clearly attempting to reach for something which is likely film, and I think that there's much to be desired within this realm. I watched a video the other day on YouTube about a guy who is basically showing how to shoot on 16mm, and he's just a 20-year-old. He had a fairly developed way of doing this, and that's not to say that it's easy, but I think that if a single YouTuber, it's Simon Cade, for those of you, if you're interested, DSLR Guide, who's a phenomenal YouTube videoer, he basically makes DSLR cinematography explanations, but I feel that if he, with the limited resources in front of him, can figure that out, I would think a Netflix show with essentially infinite resources, I mean within reason, but for this kind of show, they do pump a lot of money in these things, could strive to be better. The other thing, I found the audio at times seemed rather flat to me, in that we would see something happening, we would hear it, and we might hear the reaction of a character, but as far as the depth of, say, the room, and I don't know, just the ambiance of what's happening didn't seem to be as expanded on as what I would like. And I'm an aspiring filmmaker myself, and so obviously I want my work to be viewed through lenses like this too, but in my work I do seek certain depth, and that's not to use depth in the term of meaning, but depth as in feel, and depth as in, I mean, essentially three-dimensional, but within the realm of sound. And I didn't find that to be particularly prevalent or compelling within the first episode of Stranger Things. The last thing I think I'll touch on, and then I'll play some music for y'all, because I'm sure you're tired of hearing me talk, or if you're listening to me on SoundCloud, I'll probably say goodbye, but I found the score extremely disappointing. I'm a lover of synthesizers. I love the 80s style, and I quite enjoy that sort of music. I find myself listening to it quite often, but it seemed as if the bulk of the score seemed to be subsiding by saying, hey, look at this. This is vintage, this is synthesizers, and I didn't seem to find any substance or depth in the music beyond that. I didn't feel like the tonal progressions typically conveyed whatever the particulars of the scene were, and I feel that there were times when it was, oh, the music's scary, so there's something scary happening, or the music is upbeat and happy, maybe something happy is happening at this point, but As far as the minutiae of how the scene in that moment was operating, the music did not seem particularly driven or particularly instructive within the narrative as to what's supposed to be conveyed. And so that's not a huge criticism, but I do feel like the composer could have particularly tried to find why the sounds are happening as opposed to how it should sound. And that's to say, I think that the retro throwback idea is fairly expanded upon, but within the music theory and the composition as a whole, why it was happening and what meaning and narrative it conveyed on its own. And it seemed to me, if you were to listen to a lot of this score independently, I think it would be rather unclear what it's supposed to be conveying, and not within a realm of deliberate ambiguity. And furthermore, I found the soundtrack very, very unsubtle. And the soundtrack I differentiate from the score in that it's not the underlying music that accompanies the scene, rather pop music and things of that sort, which are recognizable, but don't necessarily attempt to serve the narrative as often as the score does. And obviously there's divergence from that typical rule, but in general, they don't serve the story in that manner. And one thing that bothered me about that, it seemed overdone, in that every time there's a scene transition, it seemed, oh, we're playing Phil Collins in the Air tonight, or we're playing Toto by Africa, which are phenomenal songs, but the inclusion of them seemed to exist only to reinforce the setting of the 80s. And I was a little bit disappointed in that I think the setting, I don't think the setting felt particularly natural. Rather, I felt a lot of screen time was spent to affirm something that should have probably existed in the background to begin. And I think the setting, by definition, should be part of the background. But I think so much screen time was diverted to establishing this, just that it's the 80s and reinforcing this, that I felt a little frustrated with how little, not how little time was diverted to other things, but I don't think that I was particularly happy with the amount of time that was being spent with this. And so, like I said, this is only, I've seen the first episode a few times, but not recently, so this is my first time in a while, but those are just a few of my preliminary thoughts. And on the next, I don't know if the next episode or at some point, but there will probably be a time on my show, we're calling it Film Frenzy, that might change, it might not, but I feel like I will come back to the topic of Stranger Things, and I may revisit the first episode before then, I may not, and so if I don't, I might reconsider things I hadn't considered on the pilot as I move forward, but that's a fairly full summary of my thoughts on Stranger Things. My name's Truett Killian, and I plan on having this weekly show to speak about just my thoughts on films and various media I've ingested for the time, but this is my show of November the 8th, 4 a.m., 2017. So those are my thoughts. Thank you for listening. I'm going to play some music by Childish Gambino now.
That was Me and Your Mama by Childish Gambino. That's, I find that song fascinating in that I think it's obviously got heavy soul influences and even more modern jazz, but I find that as a song that encapsulates so many styles that I don't know. I really like seeing Donald Glover evolve as an artist and just the things he's attempting to do. Now, I have a public service announcement. Walking is good exercise. PSA. Although other physical activities can provide a more vigorous workout, walking is easy, requires no special equipment, and is good exercise for most adults. In urban areas, walking can be an excellent alternative to driving or even taking public transportation. For example, it's just a little over 2.5 miles from the Tufts campus in Medford to Harvard Square in Cambridge, a distance that can be walked in about 45 minutes by a healthy adult. Walking can get you fresh air, exercise, burn calories, save you money, and with all the inattentive and otherwise impaired drivers on the road, it's safer than riding a bike. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio. At this time, I'd like to play another song that I've been listening to recently. It's Maggot Brain by Funkadelic. I don't know what to make of this song, but it's one of my favorites. Enjoy.
another breath and I'm up another level. It feels good to be up above the clouds. It feels good for the first time in a long time now.
Just heard High by Sir Sly and